I want to draw your attention back to the portion or two portions of scriptures that have been read in your hearing. Matthew 28, 1 through 6, and 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57. We are going to lift up the theme today, changed completely. Somebody say that. You got to say it with an attitude. The remix would be "A Wonderful Change Has Come Over Me." Let's say that together. A wonderful change has come over me. Now, you sing it because you didn't know it. Now that you know it, I want you to say it like you know it. A wonderful change has come over me. Changed completely. Father, we want to thank you for this resurrection day and all that it symbolizes and all that it means. We pray now that you would speak to us. Give us a reason to rejoice, a reason to hope. Thank you for loving us enough to give your best. And thank you that he gave his life. He laid in the grave. But God, we thank you that he rose again. I pray that your people would rejoice. This is so important that we never miss, we never lose sight of your resurrection. So bless us now and speak as only you can. In Jesus' name, and the people of God say, amen. Now give the Lord a good praise. No, a good praise. Yeah, a crazy praise. Yeah. Yes. Don't be afraid to praise him. Don't be afraid to give him honor and to give him glory. Please be seated in the presence of our God. Now, I want the leaders to be in your respective place because every now and then we have the congregation to help us preach, and sometimes we do let you preach. But today you're going to help preach. This is too wonderful a thing for just one person to get happy about. I need everybody to get happy about the resurrection. When you understand its significance, one of the problems I think we have as Christians is that we are too laid back. Everybody protect their religion with claws. For example, you dare not make any jokes about the Muslim God. They will get you for it. But we would stand aside and listen to people use the name of God as a curse word and say nothing. We need to get excited about who God is. Because I want to tell you something. No matter what other religion there is, I tell you without any doubt, there is no other like this who can boast about the resurrected Lord. None, absolutely none. You named him. There's absolutely none. So I want to lift up the theme today with your help, changed completely. In case you didn't recognize it, the theme was inspired by a song. A wonderful change has come over me. Anybody knows that song? Y'all need to know some of these songs. I was looking, before I get preaching, I was looking into the songbook, and some of the old hymns are missing. You know, I was looking for up from the grave he arose. Couldn't find it. Couldn't find nobody. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Sister Jarell, you should know that song. Now, if none of them know it, you should. I know why I'm saying that. You know that. Amen. We have read Matthew 28. And we have read 1 Corinthians 15. Today is Resurrection Sunday. A very thrilling and inspiring text unfolds as Paul writes these words at the conclusion of his great chapter on the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus. And for those of you who do not understand, there were those who were arguing that there is no resurrection of the dead. And these were professing believers who had come out of paganism. And there was a discussion and a discourse that there be no resurrection of the dead. And Paul says, I need you to understand that if there is no resurrection of the dead, your faith is in vain, your preaching is in vain, Christ is still dead and done, and you are yet in your sins. But then he says, he has risen from the dead. These words communicate to us the best news ever heard on the planet Earth. Here is announced the possibility of a new posture, a new stance, if you will, for everyday living. It is a very exciting and hopeful approach to living, a leaning forward in joyous expectation. It is something that lasts longer than a day. It is a communication we cannot afford to miss. Now, the experts in communication tell us that we are constantly sending messages, not just with words, but also with our gestures, by what we do with our hands, what we do with our shoulders, what we do with our heads and our eyes. And as Caribbean people, we have learned how to master the art of speaking with the body. Anybody that is a true Caribbean person and they are expressing themselves, you will see hand movements, shoulder movements, head movements. There is an attitude when we speak. Especially if you are a black woman trying to get a message across, you got an attitude. And sometimes what you do speaks so much louder than what you say. And so as we come to this passage, we find here that it is possible to miss the message of the resurrection because a lot of times we only hear the verbal message that we have read in the text. So we really have to hear the tone of the voices. See, y'all missing your cue. See, I'm telling you, they're not ready. They're not ready. Let me help you out. You're the leader, brother. You got to stay on. You're going to mess up my sermon. Y'all have to stay with me. Stay focused. Amen. Let's try that again. We cannot only just read the words on the pages. We've got to actually hear the tone of the voices. Y'all messing up my sermon. By the way, you're supposed to stand and lead your group. I don't know why you're hesitating. There's no need to hesitate. Get up and lead your people into praise. Y'all playing cute. I'm going to fire the whole bunch of you. Amen. All right. Let's try this again. Rerun. Not only must you read the words on the page, we've got to hear the tone of the voices. Amen. So we are here today. We're here today not just to hear the words, but to see the faces of the women radiant with joy and tears stained with gladness, and of the men breathless from running to the empty tomb, amazed that the tomb is empty, then filled with the wonder and astonishment of the living one who comes to them. And I want you to imagine, here are these women going, making their way to the sepulcher. And as they get there, they are met by an angel who say that he's not here, he's alive. And then the voice said to them, go and tell my disciples. Can you picture John and Peter as they're running towards the tomb, breathless, only to realize that the tomb is empty? Now, there in the New Testament, there is a subtle shift in the body language of ordinary people. When Jesus rose from the dead, there is an entire shift. No longer are they frightened. No longer are they timid. No longer are they fearful. They are no longer bent over with guilt and grief. No longer are their hands twisted in anxiety, or their brows furrowed with despair, or their eyes downcast in defeat. But they have a new spring in their step. They have joy in their hearts, and they are excited because not only do we hear the voices, praise the Lord. Now you're talking. Amen. There's a new look that signals a new inner reality. There is, in fact, a new hope, a new inner birth, and a new certainty. Eyes are lifted. Faces are upturned. Shoulders are straightened up. Hands relax, and the tension leaves. Are you with me so far? The tone of the voices change. There is new expectancy and a new love of life and a definite leaning forward in hope. Because not only do they hear the words, we hear the tone of the voices. Bless his name. The resurrection. And I want you to stay serious because this is serious stuff. He's alive. I know you're having fun, but don't miss the message. There is a new look that signals a new inner reality. And the resurrection is the sign that God is not defeated in his creation. The resurrection is the sign that God succeeds. Death, says the word, is swallowed up in victory. Fear is defeated by radiant faith. Guilt is removed by the fact of God's grace. His forgiveness is seen in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And somebody needs to hear me today, that you don't need to feel guilty anymore. Christ paid the price and rose again so you can be justified. The resurrection deals with something that happened to a physical body. We don't understand all about it. But a body that was cold, imagine this, lifeless and dead, was transformed, made alive, radiant, and victorious. We have to hear the tone of the voices. Now, God wants us to begin his resurrection. If you can keep the laughter down and keep it serious, it's not a joke, or else I'll cut you out. God wants to begin his resurrection victory in our bodies right now. God wants you to feel the uplift of the resurrection. I want you to hear God. God wants you to have a new posture, to have the comfort of knowing that death is not the end. Or separations that seem so long to us now are not final. Somebody needs to hear me. There is going to be a joyous reunion someday. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. I want you to understand this. Some of you are too young to know some of these people. But I want to share this with you this morning. As I prepared this sermon and I talked about the resurrection, my own heart began to bleed as I missed my mother and missed my brother and missed those who have gone. But I want you to know with the blessed assurance that God has given us, there shall be a reunion. We shall see Judith and Frank Parsons again. We shall see Blanche and Albert Klein again. We shall see Lillian and Morris Turnbull again. We shall see James Blyden again. And the list goes on. Put the names of your loved one that knew Christ right in there and give God praise that we shall meet again. Come on, somebody, give God praise. God has answers to our fears. And God has answers to our guilt. God himself is with us, and God is for us. Are you listening to me? God wants us to know that he cares for us. God wants you to know today that he understands your pain. And every time holidays come around, we miss our loved ones more than ever before. And God understands that. He sees your tears. He feels your pain. And the list goes on. God is right there. But listen to this. He said, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. You forsake nor leave, never will I. It's the same if you call it backward or forward. Because God says, I am Jehovah Shammah. I am always there. I want somebody to understand that God knows your pain. I need to stay right here for somebody. God understands your hurt. God understands how much you miss your loved one. God understands how many times you cry at night. God sees your tears. And God says, I have an answer for that. Do you feel the tone? Do you see God's body language? God's body language is the risen Christ. God says, he shall rise again. Jesus says, I shall rise again. And all that spoke volume, but nothing spoke as much volume as when that body actually got up. We have to hear the tone of the voices. Real message is the risen Lord radiating with glory and honor, who said to the brokenhearted Mary Magdalene, he who knew her sorrow, knew her fear, and knew her guilt, he turns to her almost a very silly question, why are you weeping? I want you to know that God has a strange way of letting you know he understands. He's not asking the question as though he doesn't know why. He's saying to Mary, I understand why you're weeping, but you need to understand something more. What you're weeping for is not the way you thought it was. And I want somebody to hear me. What you're weeping for is not what you think it is. Because that which was dead and that which was broken, God says, I'm going to bring to life and I'm going to fix it. So you need to understand that I understand your pain. And then at the first she thought it was the gardener. You know the story. I'm just going through the resurrection story. when he spoke, she now knows it is Jesus. There is something about his voice. He says, my sheep know my voice. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I've been in pain, I've been in sorrow. But then I heard the still voice of Jesus saying, I'm with you. And that brought about a peace that nothing else could bring. Mary, he says, it is that tone of voice, not just the word, that communicated. So just like Mary, we too must hear the tone of the voices. Today, God speaks your name with a tone that invites you to look. Look up from your heartache. Look up from your pain. It's amazing that even in a congregation like this, there might be those of us who are in despair. Somebody here is worried about how they're going to pay some bill. Somebody's worried about a relationship that has turned sour. And another, and it goes on and on. It's amazing what we all have to contend with, but the truth is, everybody is dealing with something. And I don't want to make light of what you're dealing with, but I want you to understand that no matter what you're dealing with, God is able to fix it. So he calls your name Mary, Ethlyn, Pristine, Texford, Brenda, Akeem, Marcia, Tony, Roxanne, Tricia, and the names go on. And he said, listen, I'm here with you. I'm here for you. What you thought will never change, I have the power to change. What you thought will never be fixed, I have the power to fix. Somebody ought to give him glory and praise right here. So then, the question must be asked, what ought to be our response to the real message of Easter? What ought to be our response to God's body language in the risen Christ? And I don't know about you, but I want to tell you three things that I feel. First, I feel increasingly drawn to want to thank God for this gift. And because it's such a gift that is not just for me, I know somebody else knows this gift. I want you to join me in just thanking God for the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that comes with him, peace, joy, long-suffering, and you name it, all of this comes with the package. Power to overcome, power to walk through. All of this is because of Jesus. So I want to thank him for this gift. And that's why Paul, as he came down to the end of the chapter, he says, all of this stuff is going on and it's blowing my mind and I'm confused at times. But I thank God that through Jesus, I have the victory. But I find that I not only want to just give him thanks, but I also want to listen. I want to listen to him. Once I experience the reality of God's communication and God's body language is known in the cells of my body as well as in the surface of my brain, I long for more communication. I want to hear more from him. I find this in the scripture where God speaks, be still. And know that I am God. I wish I had time to tell you all the things he says. But I quote a few passages. He says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. He says, come unto me all you that are burdened and heavy laden and I will give you rest. He goes on and he says, I love you with an everlasting love. I want to listen to him. So my brothers and my sisters, as we listen, not only must we hear the voices. He's not here. He is risen. He's alive.
must also pick up the tone.
And last of all, life has real meaning. And I want you to really get this. I want you to get real active now. Everybody going to be standing. You're not going to be so quiet and so relaxed. It's a celebration time. I told you I'm not going to preach by myself. Life has real meaning now. I have a new sense of expectancy because Easter comes as a reminder. So as I follow the scriptures, as I follow what God was saying to Mary and Martha and Mary and Magdalene and Mary and Joseph and Mary and all of them, as he spoke to all of his disciples, they now have a new lease on life. And so first of all, Easter comes to remind us that God intervenes in human affairs. Hear me today. I wonder if there's somebody here today who has a situation that you need God to intervene in. And if you have such a situation, I want you to know that God is able to turn whatever your situation is around. Do I have a witness? So now, everybody stand to your feet. That was just practice for you. Some of you I know feel a little strange and awkward. I want all the leaders to face your team. I want you to get into it. Don't just stand there waving sign. You're not there to be cute. I want you to really lead the people in praise. But you got to praise yourself. Amen, somebody? So I'm going to give you some lines, and then I'm going to give you the signal, because we're going to have a breakout celebration in just a moment. Easter comes to remind us that God intervenes in human affairs. And so no matter what your situation is, I want you to know that God has the power to intervene. So you must hear the tone of the voices. Now everybody put your hands together and clap. Now, I'm not going to keep telling you what to do. You're going to break out in your own praise if you understand what God is saying. Easter comes to remind us that God has the last word. And the last word is life, not death. Some of you have been to the doctor. You have gotten a report that makes you sad. Your heads are hung down and you don't have any peace and joy. But I want you to know that God has the last word. And his word is life, not death. Somebody ought to hear the voices. Easter comes to remind us that there was another time when darkness seemed to have covered the whole earth. Do you remember? God walked out on nothing in darkness. And all he said was, "Let there be light." And there was light. And I want to say to those of you who are walking in darkness, you are in a situation where you can't see your way through. But I want you to understand this. Not only does God say, "Let there be light," but he says, "I am the light of the world. And if you walk with me, if you follow me, ye shall not walk in darkness." No matter how dark it seems this morning, you ought to hear the tone of the voices. Easter comes to remind us that darkness ended, says the scripture, as it began to dawn. How many of you know that it's always darkest before the dawn? I want to encourage somebody, if it's really dark in your life, just know that dawn is about to break. The old folk have a way of saying, the closer the port, the hotter the storm. If you feel the pressure turned up and the heat is up more than ever before, I want you to know that God is about to break through. And so here's what the Bible says, that early that morning as it began to dawn, light broke through. Tell your neighbor, it's morning time. Come on, shout. It's morning time. Some of you don't understand. The Bible says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Come on, somebody, shout. It's morning time. Easter comes to say that death is not final, for God's day won't be over until day breaks. Remember God's word in creation. And the evening and the morning were the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the sixth day. God began his day with evening. Usually, we begin our day with morning. I want you to get this. And so, when you understand that you might be seeing darkness now, but God is saying it's actually daytime where I'm at. You don't have to wait till you get to glory to understand that. There's a songwriter that says, there is sunshine in my soul today. The song goes on to talk about all the darkness around me, but somehow there is sunshine in my soul today. That no matter how bad it is around me, no matter how dark it is around me, I got sunshine in my soul today. So we've got to hear the tone of the voices. So Easter comes. It comes to remind us that it is not the darkness that wins the victory, but the dawn. Or hear me today. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know who this simple word is for today. But I want you to know that the sun will shine over the mountain. Just wait till the morning comes. Don't give up. Somebody was about to give up, but I want to say to you this morning, don't give up. The sun will shine over the mountain. Just wait till the morning comes. I can't help but quote what Isaiah says, because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. God is such a great God. Don't give up. Somebody shout glory. Glory. Everybody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's hear the tone of the voices. And finally, from our texts in Matthew as well as 1 Corinthians, Easter comes with a break in the darkness. I declare that this is your hour of deliverance. Let me say that one more time. I declare that this is your hour of deliverance. Oh, no, no, you didn't hear me. I declare that this is your hour of deliverance. I want you to know, like God said to the Israelites, the enemies that you see today, you will see no more. God wants you to shout, it's over. Come on, somebody, shout, it's over. This is your hour of deliverance. And you need to understand your deliverance is in your praise. So I want to give you a chance right now to give God a praise. Breakthrough in praise this morning. Open your mouth and bless him. Open your mouth and glorify him. Let his glory fill this house. Now, with the confidence that you have in your heart, I want you to hold your neighbor's hand and tell him, I'm coming out. I'm breaking out. Come on, shake them like you mean it. Ooh. Let's hear the tone of the voices. As we come down, as we close, I want to give you a story. There was a young woman who was stricken with polio when she was a child. And she was taken to church by a friend on an Easter Sunday similar to today. It was a beautiful service. The music was stirring and the sermon was both inspired and inspiring. When it was time for the congregation to stand during the service, the girl would take her crutches, struggle out of her wheelchair. I want you to hear me. Some of you have your two good feet. And stand with the other worshipers. Each time the man who was seated behind her, every time she tried to stand, he would place his hands under her elbow and help her to stand. And so when the service was over, and when they were back at home, the friend asked the young woman, "Tell me, what in the service impressed you most?" She replied, "The man sitting behind me who helped me to get my feet onto my feet each time we needed to stand." I want you to know this morning that there was a time, I don't know about you, when I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. Give him praise and glory. There are times in my life, I can't speak for you, when there seems to be no way, when it seems like I'm going down for the last time. And then suddenly, out of nowhere it seems, God makes a way out of no way. Do I have a witness? I've been down several times, but I've never been out. Tell your neighbor, don't count me out. The resurrection speaks to me. And when I look at God's body language that once laid lifeless, now standing straight and tall, alive and well, that language alone has completely changed my life. A wonderful change has come over me. I, like the Apostle Paul, not only have the fellowship of his suffering, but I experience the power of his resurrection. Work with me for just a couple of minutes. I'm going to let you go. But I cannot help as I see the change in the disciples. And I only have time to talk about one today. If we were to interview Peter this morning, Peter would hang his head down in admittance. He said, "Brethren, here at Cane Garden Bay, I remember one time I told Jesus that though everybody else walk away from you, I wouldn't. I'll be there for you." He looked at me and said, "Peter, I know you have good intentions, but let me just tell you this, son. Before the cock crows, you will deny me not just once, not just twice, but three times. But that's before the resurrection." But Peter will say to us this morning, "I hold my head up here today in this congregation Because even though I betrayed him, even though I let him down, even though I denied him, he gave me a second chance. Anybody ever got a second chance? I want you to see how much God loves us. You see, we often get the wrong idea of who God is with this grand old father with a big old stick want to knock you over your head every time you go wrong. No, sir. Every time you go wrong, God wants to pick you up. Somebody needs to hear me this morning. You have strayed away from God and you think you must stay out there because nobody cares about you. People are talking about you. But I want you to know that God loves you. And so after the resurrection, look at Jesus. There were some people that he singled out. I can't talk about all. Let me stay with Peter. He appeared to 500 at one time. He appeared to two men on the road of Emmaus. But then he singled out Peter. I want you to know that when you need God the most, he'll be right there. I know I have a witness. People have often say to you, they'll be there for you. But no sooner than the bottom falls out, they bail out. But when Peter was at his lowest, in mourning, in pain, you got to understand that these men left Jesus, or they actually left everything they had for Jesus. And now he's dead. And they are in the upper room for fear. But then word comes that he's alive and he appears to Peter. And watch this. Watch the love of God. Of all the men that God could entrust the leadership of his church to, guess who he picked out? Come on, call his name. Peter. When Jesus was about to go back to heaven, he left his church in the hands of Peter. Listen to what he says. Watch God's love and care. It's after the resurrection. Jesus now, he says, Peter, do you love me? Say, yeah, Lord, I love you. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Jesus asked a third time, Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah, do you love me? By this time, Peter's troubled. And what God was doing is canceling out. Notice, he betrayed him three times. God gave him three chances to testify to the world how much he loved him. I want to say this today. No matter how you may have failed, God loves you. I close by this. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. One translation says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. I'm finished preaching. It's time for celebration. I want us to just give God some praise in this house and glorify him. Come on, let's bless his name. Come on, praise him. We're going to pick up the pace. I want us to rejoice. I want somebody to give God praise that you never did before. You see, some of you don't understand. There is something about praise that you will never be able to explain. Jesus puts it this way, and we often only think it means about lifted up on the cross. But to praise him is to actually lift him up. And he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw. But not only that, when you lift him up, when you praise him, in other words, just like Paul and Silas, the Bible says God inhabits, he actually dwells. When Paul and Silas were in prison, the Bible says a great earthquake came. In my simple mind, I think that's when God literally jumped in and said, this is a party going on. I got to praise with these brothers. And if you would only understand this, and I'm going to give you an opportunity, I want us to get a song that everybody knows, with a beat that everybody can do, and I want you to rejoice. Get rid of your inhibitions. Get rid of all that's holding you back, and just praise God like you know who he is. And I'm guaranteeing you, I want to make a prophecy right now. I'm guaranteeing you that a situation that you have been working on, waiting for, God is about to break through for you. How many of you believe that today? Do you receive that today?
Amen.
Now, it's one thing to say so. Now I want you to do so. It's about body language. We all know the resurrection story, but what we miss is the body language. Heads that were once bent, eyes that were once filled with tears, are now rejoicing and having a great time because of the resurrection. A wonderful change has come over me. So I want you to put the books down and everything, get your hands clear, and we're going to just praise God in this house. Come on, I'm finished preaching. Don't just stand there. Let's glorify the Lord.
There's a feeling in the air that God is everywhere, and his resurrection power is moving in this hour.
Come on.
That Jesus might be glorified. There's a feeling in the air that God is everywhere, and his resurrection power is moving in this hour. That Jesus might be glorified.
Sing something that everybody knows. Yeah, all right. Can we get something that everybody knows? Hey, what are we singing?
In the blood.